Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everybody. Just before we deep dive into the podcast, I hope you are well. But also, within this episode, we talk about the new Quest Golf Mini Professional Series that we have organized, and we talk about the first event at Fleetwood. Unfortunately, that event has been postponed and moved till April, but all the other information contained herein is absolutely spot on. Enjoy the episode, and I just hope you're having the most wonderful day.
Sometimes golf is a pain in the butt. You hit your ball in the trees, and then you lip out the putt. But if you've got a little time, and come and spend it with us, 'cause now you're listening to The Rough Cut.
Hello, 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 and welcome down to another episode of the Rough Cut Golf Podcast, officially the 10th most popular podcast in golf in Guatemala. I am joined here by Mick, by Kieran, and by Jacob. And of course, wherever you're listening from, we wish you a wonderful, fantastic day. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, not too bad.
How do you know that stat about Guatemala?
Because I'm going to kick off every single podcast now with a stat about where we are in the world. And we are the 10th most popular golf podcast in Guatemala.
Yeah, where'd you get that information from is what I'm saying.
The official podcast charts, the official world golf ranking charts of podcasts.
Okay.
Anyone else kind of slightly disappointed with only being 10?
Yeah, come on, Guatemala, sort it out.
We are higher in other countries, but I'm just going to try and pick the random ones. I think we were like 25th in Norway.
Strong. That's sad. Like that. On golf.
On golf, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But what was the one we were number one at?
In Qatar.
Qatar, yeah, that was it.
Yeah. So it fluctuates pretty wildly. I'm not entirely sure I trust Chartable quite as much as they would like, but it's the only measurement we've got. Listen, if anybody wants to come up with the algorithm which does it properly, we are all ears and eyes.
And a bit like the OWGR then.
Well, indeed. We're not actually going to be delving too deeply into official World Golf Rankings this episode, unfortunately. We are saving that next week for our Masters Preview pod, which is going to be absolutely jam-packed full of Masters information, so please stay tuned. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel yet, you are watching this with your own eyes, make sure you subscribe now. If you're listening to this on your favourite podcast provider, set a reminder, subscribe, do other podcast things.
Yeah, so the other thing you could do, which is really, really helpful, speaking of charts, is to wherever you're listening to this podcast, you could write a 5-star review of it, which would be great.
That would be helpful.
That would be really, really helpful. So if you're on Apple Podcasts or, you know, other are available, Google, we get a lot of people listening on Google.
Spotify,
correct. Stitcher Smart Radio.
Amazon.
That still exists, right?
Does Google Podcast still exist?
Yes, it does. I still get a weekly report saying like 793 plays.
Oh, that's good.
Which is really good. So thank you to those people who listen to us on Google. But wherever you listen, write a 5-star review because we want to take this to the stratosphere of golf podcasts.
And also, once you do the review, also submit it. Like, don't just write it and keep it to yourself.
Yeah, sorry, you do have to click.
An internal review.
You do have to click done.
Yeah, or like send it to us. Like, yeah. It's great to see, but we need the whole world to appreciate what is going on here.
Yeah. We can only make as many burner accounts as possible to keep it going.
And like, to be honest...
And I got us to 10th in Guatemala.
Like, even if you actually don't like the podcast that much and you think it's like a 3, just give it a 5 anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'd be fine. Could be like 4.5.
It needs to be five. Come on.
We've got charts to climb.
Mm. Talking about climbing charts, don't know how I'm going to get to there.
Go on, do it.
We've got a few things which have been happening this week. The Quest miniseries has kicked off, which is a series of professional events that we have sponsored this year with the PGA of Lancashire. They're going to be running up until the start of June. And the first one has actually happened.
Yes.
But it's tomorrow,
though
this is being released 4 days after.
Oh, wow.
God, the timings are just so off-putting.
This is like when someone explains how they're related to someone and there's too many crossovers and you're like, it's my mother's auntie's son's cat.
Uncle Jackie's brother's boy.
Yeah, same person.
I don't know. That's a big thing in the country, but like in the cities, don't really matter.
Oh no! Do you know what I mean? When someone's like explaining it through, and it messes with your brain.
Yeah, I don't listen.
Do you want to do a little prediction for what you think the results are going to be?
Oh, well done for winning this.
Thank you. Yeah, we should probably do a few different versions. Thank you very much. Played amazingly well. I can't believe I've had that many birdies at Fleetwood Golf Club. It's quite incredible.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad. I mean, around level par isn't too horrendous in those conditions because it is pretty windy, a little bit of rain, a little bit of sun, a little bit of thunder, a little bit of hail, a little bit of snow.
Now a realistic one.
Yeah. Now realistic one.
Now the actual one.
Yeah, so first comp of the year, and as always, I played like a burning trash can of expert. There you go. How about that?
I don't think that is going to be the case. I think that you're from what we have seen, the game seems to be in pretty good shape. You've played some good golf recently. However, do you want to tell people what you have been working on in the other room that might make them a little ill?
It won't make anyone ill.
Okay.
I'm just working on striking the ball like an excellent professional golfer.
Okay. So one of the things that many people will say about Peter Finch's golf swing is that it does look smooth and effortless and well-timed, which of course it is. I enjoy watching it up until about 48 hours ago where I saw you do something with your feet that I did not like. Tell us what's going on.
I'm just rolling my right foot and I slide it a little bit Scottish Scheffler. Like, you're the only person here who really doesn't like Scottish Scheffler. Like, literally everybody in the world likes Scottish Scheffler. Like, his swing, he moves his feet a bit, but that's fine. Like, you just need to get on board the Scottish Scheffler train.
I like Scottish Scheffler.
It doesn't seem like it.
I just don't like his swing.
Sorry, just talk me by this. You're doing what? You're moving your right leg.
So my right foot.
Right.
So I get up on my toe on my right foot, which moves my right hip towards impact, which causes a bit of an early... That's literally the wrong way.
Yeah, that's the wrong way. Yeah.
Kieran's aim has never been good.
Got the wrong hip, which means I kind of early extend a little bit and I get a bit steep with the club. So if I roll my right foot, so roll onto the instep, if you imagine your foot, mm-hmm. that's your foot, roll it like that. Mm-hmm. This way, so towards the target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That keeps my hips under control and I can deliver the club in a much more consistent manner. However, the side effect of this, which, you know, like an American medical commercial, they need to be listened to, rolling that right foot actually causes a little bit of a slide as well. And it's not really that noticeable on grass, but I did have a practice round this morning on some skiddy winter mats.
You're all over the place.
Get a wet leg.
And it was quite extreme.
Where did you play?
I played Reddish this morning.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was in the gym at 6. I was out of there. I was on the course for 7:15.
Wow.
Good lad. Very good.
Oh, that claret jog's in trouble, bruv. Man's coming.
Not really. So I did, if you've watched any of the rounds recently, and not to kind of spoil anything, I am playing very, very consistent golf.
Mm.
But I got to 3 under par. Today, chipping in, putting well, striking it not too bad. And as soon as I got to 3 under par, I thought, okay, I'll try and get a couple more, try and get to 5, double, and then a bogey, just to get back to level.
Yeah.
Because that is what I do. But I did hole 44 on the last for a birdie, so
okay. finish one. How many holes do you play? You've got 8 for 18?
The top kind of holes were closed.
How did you drive it? Because
honestly, really well.
Okay, that's what I want to hear. The trip we took to America, I would say, was probably one of your better assets of your golf game, especially in recent months. And the last conversation we had about your golf swing is something that I think I and many other golfers can relate to, in regards to you're driving it well, but then you wanted to improve your irons and the strike. And within that, your iron striking has now improved, but you felt that you lost what you had with the driver. And I can relate to that completely. Yeah. I don't think I've ever had both going well at the same time.
Yeah,
because impossible. I'm trying to put the same swing on both clubs.
Those people play on the PGA Tour.
They do.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I figured it out slightly, but I'm treating my driver swing a tiny bit more like my iron swing, which means I'm not hitting up on it as much. So the ball flight is a little bit lower. However, with the weather currently in the northwest UK, that's not a bad thing.
Carry is also total in your driver distance.
Sometimes it spins backwards.
Yeah, pretty much. Now it's going a little bit less.
It's plugging in the fairway. We had a couple when we played that you'd hit it and the ball landed in the fairway and disappeared. You're like, oh, okay.
It's just
any other time of the year that would have bounced. Yeah,
one of the worst things, finally hitting a fairway and then losing the golf ball.
It just kind of shows why the difference between like the States, the weather that we had, and over here. We're actually going to get onto golf clubs a little bit more later on, how much they've been struggling and how much people have been unhappy with the state of affairs in the UK around golf clubs and memberships and everything else. So we're going to get onto that. But hopefully Fleetwood that we play is going to be in decent condition. It's a Lynx, but I know even Lynx courses have struggled with the weather this year. So
how Lynxy is it? Because it's near a coast.
So
how Lynxy was it?
What tense do we speak in? Like so confusing. It's like I'm in Inception or something. Yeah.
My past experience of Fleetwood is that it's Lynxy-ish.
Mm.
Like it's not like St. Anne's Old Lynx ground. It's a little bit more
like a Hesketh.
Wet. A little bit more Hesketh, yeah. But also, the last time I played there, has anyone been to Fleetwood?
No, not even to the place.
I thought it was in Liverpool for some reason.
No, it's nowhere near Liverpool. It's kind of like north of Blackpool, basically.
Yeah.
The far side of the golf course is protected by a storm wall.
Good.
Ooh. And the last time I played there, waves were coming over the top of it.
Okay.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Was it like that today? Yesterday?
It was a little.
We can't do this.
It was a little bit like that. It was a bit windy, according to BBC weather.
Yeah, that's what's predicted.
Yeah. So, but when the last time I played, it was like literally 40-mile-an-hour winds, and it was almost unplayable. But I think tomorrow's going to be a good test.
So, like, talk to me about what's happening tomorrow, or what has been. Like, how's it all working? Like, how many entries we got? All this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Can people come and watch?
Like, what is it? Yeah.
So like the biggest issue, so this is all about Quest for the Open and the series we're doing this year, which kind of tracks what I'm doing with my golf, trying to improve, leading up to Open qualifying, which is all July. So what I found in previous years doing this is that in the northwest of the UK, there's hardly any comps which actually start until late May, June, and then qualifying's at the end of June.
Mm,
so
yeah.
There's nowhere near enough time.
There's no run-up, is there?
Yeah, to get the actual competitive reps in. So what we decided, what I decided in a pub one day, was that we'd basically sponsor 5 events on the PGA Lancashire region and make sure those events are in the run-up to Open qualifying. So
yep.
We've got 5 more events to play in. Obviously, we're going to film them all, and we're going to put up, I think it was put up 500 quid as a minimum first prize. So if 2 people entered, the first prize would be 500 quid. But we've got, I think, about 45 entries now for the first one.
That's good. That's really good.
Which early in the year in Lancashire, so it's regional, is really good. Mm. So this will be the best day, the best single day paying tournament anywhere in the UK for kind of PGA pros.
And is it only open to PGA pros in the Lancashire region?
Yeah.
So you can't be listening to this in London and suddenly sign up and come and win 500 quid.
Precisely, yeah. Right, yeah. Okay. So we kind of starting, well, I must have subconsciously big plans for this. We're starting with the PGA Lancashire region.
Yeah. Next year, the world.
seeing how it goes and then trying to figure it out from there, because like PGA professionals, I'm a PGA professional, obviously I don't work in a golf club or I don't coach on a range, for example, but that's where most of these guys are kind of spending their day to day. And to actually get them out onto a golf course is actually quite tough.
Because
if you get, like, say, 20 PGA pros and they're playing an event, and it's kind of like, well, come, you're going to spend a day at a golf course, and the first prize, if you win, is going to be £120. People are going to be like, well, what's the point? Like, if I finish last, I'm not going to get anything.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is we're trying to make sure that that first prize is big enough that more people enter. That first prize is going to be topped up, so it's going to be more than £500, hopefully, and then it'll pay down deeper into the field.
So would you have to pay to play the event?
Yeah, you do. So
like an entry fee job?
Yeah, so the actual PGA Lancashire region has 10 events in total throughout the year, and you pay £450 for all those events.
Oh, okay. Right. And they split the money.
Precisely,
And then you're guaranteeing first prize.
Yeah, so we're basically guaranteeing an extra $2,500 over the events that first prize is.
So that makes it a little bit more.
If you're a PGA pro, how much money would you make teaching a day's worth of lessons? So, like, why would it be worth it to come out and play for £500?
I mean, it depends. What depends on what you're charging.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
So, if you're charging a lot of money for lessons,
You're not playing.
You
could
make more than £500 a day.
Yeah. If you were, you could do. But I think it's more along the lines of, like, if you're a PGA pro, generally speaking, the reason you got into golf is not so you could work in a shop.
To sell a Mars bar.
Yeah. It's not so you could, especially this time of year, slog out and drive a range.
Mm. Mm.
Those things you could enjoy and you can adapt and you can learn to love them. But every PGA pro that is in the PGA now started playing golf because they like to play golf.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, no one turned around at when they were 13 at 25 handicap and they were shanking it into the fence going, oh, you know what? I see myself in 20 years being a PGA coach. Mm. It was like, you know what, I'm just enjoying golf, enjoying playing. But the sad fact is there's so many kind of PGA pros that literally won't play. Yeah. Like they'll go a full year. I mean, it's mad to me that certainly when I was at Lillishaw Golf Club, for example, Rob, who was kind of my head pro there, played, I think one year he played twice.
Mm.
And one of those was like an enforced captain pro challenge kind of PGA comp.
And is that due to the fact that he wanted to do more lessons, or is it just the fact that he just didn't want to?
So he did a lot of coaching, ran the shop. But also, when you're at a golf club, there is a definite stigma. So imagine this, okay. So you go into the shop and you spend all day in the shop, whatever, you do some lessons. It comes to 6 o'clock, the shop's closed. You step onto the first tee, you hit off, guaranteed there will be a member saying, oh, is there a bit of time out of the shop? Are we pro? Oh,
yeah.
All right, that's all right for some, isn't it? Look at that. No discount on that jumper.
Speaking from experience.
I was going to say,
honestly, working in the shop was, I hated it. I just hated it.
I did work experience for a week in a pro shop.
Yeah, where's that free iron come from?
Yeah,
like coaching I enjoy, but the whole retail side of things, like trying to sell things is not great. And then certainly a golf club, to make any margin in products, like you're selling a jumper for like, I don't know, £50, for example. Merino wool jumper.
Yeah, good jumpers.
Club logo crested.
Lovely.
And it's £50, so. And then John will come in and he'll be like, it's a bit steep, this jumper. Could you do it for 15?
I don't know if you can barter in those places.
On golf club members, like, it's... not a very generalization, but a lot of golf club members are going to be like, can you do it for a bit cheaper? No. All right, well, I'll tell you what, if I buy the jumper, can you throw in a dozen Pro Vs?
It's more expensive than the jumper, you fool.
No. So in some respects, I'd like to be a PGA pro in a shop again just so I could be like a really grumpy one.
Yeah.
Just for like a few years.
I think you'd be good at that.
Oh, I could be a great grumpy PGA pro.
Right, I'm going to come into the shop and you're gonna book me in for my tea time, okay? Just trying out, just for the audio people, I'm just trying out a putter. Yeah, it's all right. It's not too bad. You're right, mate. We're the 10:19 tee time, I think. Oh, that's actually, there's actually four of us. I know it's booked for three, but there's actually four of us. That'll be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And have you got any buggies available?
No.
The course looks good. We've just had a quick look at the old facilities. All the holes are open. Everything's.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but do you actually want to play or do you just want to have a conversation? I don't know if you can see it, but I'm in the middle of a stock take.
Oh,
can you put that putter back where you found it, please?
Yeah, I'm really, really sorry about that. It was 200 quid this tea time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like it's worth it.
You know what? It's not worth it. In fact, I think you should probably leave and go home. The reason that we're actually selling these tea times, sir, is because we just had a gap in the diary. Fortunately, we have a very strong membership. So if you don't actually want to go out and play, well, you can shove this tea time where the sun don't shine and go away. There's Muni down the road if you really want to go and play that. They've just punched the greens.
You're really good at this.
Obviously, I would never ever do that because I'm not that person. But, oh, yeah. But the whole reason on this, like I say, is just to try and get kind of pros out of the shop and just take a day to play and to actually, you know, engage with golf again.
Yeah, do the thing that they you know, do the thing that got them into the career in the first place. Yeah. Go out and actually play.
Listen, I've told you guys like loads of times, I honestly really do mean this. Like, if you work in golf, it is such a unbelievable, not a blessing, kind of sounds a little bit kind of airy fairy, but it's a real kind of privilege. Like I've worked in other fields and come back to golf and just realized like how lucky we are. But sometimes it can be very, you can be blinded if you are just in a shop or you are just coaching and it does become a real, it's just a job. And you can't wait to get away from it.
Yeah.
Whereas like sometimes it's nice to actually get out, play, to meet other pros, maybe have a bit of a moan, but also to play for a bit of money.
And you forget how nice your office is as a golfer. Do you know what I mean? Like you're outside and the one major thing that will help, of course the money is wonderful. But the other major thing that will help get these golfers to these golf courses for these events is that we have our first series sponsor.
Maybe.
It's not like a 100% signed on the dotted line. But what I love is what has started off as it was a joke at the time, has kind of snowballed into something that's turning into a reality, which is quite exciting.
So, I mean, basically enough, in a few weeks ago, we mentioned about looking for sponsors, but not monetary sponsors. Just like anyone who kind of wants to have a little bit of fun. And we spoke about pies.
Local businesses trying to
get like a local bakery on board and stuff. Well,
we did.
We had a bakery kind of get in touch and say, you know, if there's something we could do, can we basically offer up some butter pies and maybe get involved? And we're trying to figure that out. But if there is anybody like Lancashire-based, Northwest-based that wants to get involved in these events, we want to have fun with this. Mm. Like we're not gonna, you know, you won't have your name on flags, and there won't be like hoardings around the tees for any sponsors. Like it's just gonna be some fun that we can have in the video. It's not gonna cost you anything unless there's something you can contribute towards, like prizes or like a nearest a pin or just something to get involved. It's absolutely fine. So yeah, fire us an email that you'll find in the description by all means.
Yeah, the ideas for the butter pies that have been thrown around were quite ludicrous, but I think the point of it is that like, yes, we're stumping up the money for the event, which will get more people out, which will mean that the quality of golf should in theory be better, which is great. But also we're making videos at each of these things. Yeah. So the ideas around the butter pies were hilarious. Like, can Pete, just before he holes the putt on the 18th to win the tournament, just take a giant gnash out of a butter
turn pie? Turn to camera.
Or can he mark his ball with it or something, you know?
18 butter pies, like every 18 holes.
What a challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That would not happen.
Oh, my record's free. I've had three butter pies before. And that was at a Preston game.
Oh, yeah. That good Lord. Yeah, that made you feel ill.
Oh, horrifically ill. Yeah, really, really badly ill.
I've never had a butter pie.
I've never had one either.
They're very, very nice.
Oh,
that's what I'm excited about.
I've never had a Guinness. Yeah. If Guinness want to sponsor one of our events.
You've never had a Guinness?
No, I've never had a Guinness. I'm waiting until I go to Ireland to have my first one.
Oh, yes, you did mention this.
Yeah.
Oh, can we mention what's coming up, or is that still...
Still very much.
Because you could have a Guinness with someone...
real soon.
That could be like a real good first Guinness.
I know. Why do you think my hand shot up when that went in the diary the other day?
It's got to be though. We can't have it at a golf club. It's got to be in a pub.
In an Irish pub.
Yeah.
So that might have to convince that person to come with you.
Yeah.
Why the golf clubs in Ireland not sell good Guinness?
Does Adair not meet your standards?
Keith and everyone at Ennis Grown who treated us to those lovely Guinness when we went.
Don't twist the words. Kieran hates Ireland. You heard it here first.
Don't twist the words. You've got experience it in a pub. You know what I mean? If you've waited all this time,
we should be going in and around Dublin. So. And I think we'll probably come back. We'll figure it out. But we'll talk about hypothetical things that haven't been confirmed yet. So.
Something that has been confirmed and filmed is most of the time one of the biggest videos of the year. Mm-hmm. The £500 Golf Bidder Challenge. I didn't go. You three did. Talk us through. Obviously, you can't tell us how it ended.
No, can they?
All right. On the Discord we were chatting about it. Someone said, "When's the video coming out?" I almost did the evil voice, but they're in the Discord, so we don't do that.
They're nice.
They said they asked when the video was coming out, and they said, "Have you got any spoilers?" And I said, "Oh my god, yeah, I'll give you some spoilers." And I said, "They picked some clubs. You know, they went to a golf course. There were some trees.
And they played some golf.
They." Golf the ball.
There were some trees that I can confirm.
Yeah, that's why I said
saw them.
Yeah.
I think one thing from the trip was that I was amazed by the amount of golf clubs that were at Golf Bidder.
Yeah, we actually timed it really well. Normally, when we get to Golf Bidder and do the warehouse picking, so if you're not familiar with the challenge, every year, apart from kind of around COVID time, me and Rick Shields do a challenge where we go to Golf Bidder warehouse. We have £500 to spend to assemble a set of clubs, and then we face off against each other in a match. So we went down last week and did that, and the warehouse was rammed. We timed it just right.
Like,
it's really good.
Every shelf was full. There was not a space. It was unbelievable. It was fantastic to see.
Yeah, it was good. And we basically picked the clubs. We obviously won't spoil any of that. Then we went down to Burr Hill Golf Club, which is about 20 minutes away. And then we faced off match play.
What was Burr Hill the site of the first ever Golf Bidder Challenge? Did I hear that?
It was, yeah. To be honest, I was a little bit gutted because we were talking about Burr Hill and, you know, restarting the very first one was there.
So Burr Hill, I had it confused with where Jacob's from. Jacob, what's your course called?
Burg Hill.
Oh, they're not the same. You didn't play there.
No.
I heard a rumour on the internet that's the place where the first ever Golf Bidder Challenge happened. And I heard a rumor that the twist this year is that you had to play with the same clubs as you played with in the first ever Golf Bidder Challenge. Is that true?
No, but it's interesting how the conspiracy theorists have now latched onto golf YouTube, which is fascinating.
Alex Jones said something about frogs, and then he said, and the Golf Bidder Challenge is back.
Wow, did not realize that. Yeah, we were back at Burr Hill, which is a golf club down in Surrey. We did play the first ever Golf Bidder Challenge there. They've got two courses, the new and the old. I convinced myself that we were going to play the new, which was the site of the first Golf Bidder Challenge.
Okay.
However, it was the old course that we were on. So I was slightly, not disappointed, but I was looking forward to renewing old memories on the new. Looking forward to renewing old memories on the new. Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of worked. Yeah,
back to the Inception thing.
Kind of.
So do you think that the fact that it was a different course, like played a little... I like to do that thing before a round of golf where you're like, oh, right, I'm going to hit drive off there. And then that'll probably leave me like an 8-iron in. Did you have like a plan going in? Because I know you had maybe even thought about what clubs you were going to pick before you went, which might have been the first time you ever did that. Mm-hmm. Did you have a plan for the course, and was it then scuppered by the fact that you weren't playing the one you thought you were going to?
No.
Driver off the first.
That's absolutely foolish.
Well, smash.
No. I mean, why would I plan that far in advance?
Yeah, I don't know.
I managed to pick the clubs before we went. Again, this was like a real kind of trying to get really prepared for this. I was on the website before we went. Normally, we just pick everything there. I selected what I wanted and then re-kind of established that at the actual golf bit of warehouse.
With the list, like I want this.
Yeah, and
this.
Yeah. And great. Everything was available, and I've just walked away from this 500 challenge with literally an epic set of clubs.
Do you think it's the best set you've ever had in a golf bit of challenge?
I mean, some of the earlier golf bit of challenges where the £500 kind of stretched maybe a little bit further, like the first ever challenge that we did, I had a Scotty Cameron, which obviously helps.
Which is absurd.
It just shows the inflation, Matt, doesn't it? It's like...
Bloody Brexit.
Bloody cost of living.
Bloody Brexit.
Cost of living.
But for this particular challenge, I think this is the best set of clubs that I possibly could have got. And it's very nostalgic. Everything in that bag has like some kind of meaning to me in a way. And I was really, really happy with it.
Go.
I have to say those irons are lovely. Very, very nice that you picked.
Thank you.
Very, very nice.
I agree.
I remember when they came out. I loved them.
You went for a very sensible vibe this year, I feel. There's nothing in there that's like, you didn't go power pod driver. You didn't go weird center shafted putter. You went smart and sensible.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think you did. Do you not think?
I thought I was pretty exotic with some of my choices. No,
well, come on. You picked a perfect tour player's golf bag.
I'm so sorry for picking a perfect tour player's golf bag. Yeah, I didn't get a power pod driver. Do you know why? Because golf bidder wouldn't stoop to that level and sell a power pod driver.
Yeah.
That's why I picked this set of clubs this year is the best.
Yes, yeah, they are very good.
My set of clubs were actually laughing at Rick's set of clubs when we put them down next to each other in the warehouse. It was actually a little bit mean. I felt quite sorry for Rick's clubs. There was a bit of bullying going on. And I don't endorse bullying in any format. I think it's disgusting. But in this sense, I was like, yeah, it's got a point.
Great right. Clip. Love that. Okay.
Do you know, like at the moment, because I'm still carrying my Christmas weight, like people are like poking fun and being like, oh, you know, oh, you can carry a bit of weight, looking a bit chunky. Yeah,
too many butter pies.
Yeah, too many butter pies. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm actually looking at myself and going, you know, that's really mean, but also kind of got a point. That's what I was thinking when my clubs were bullying Rex.
Yeah, so you went for an early morning gym session on the day of, worked up the heart rate. No, you didn't.
No, he didn't.
We were staying in a Travelodge in Epsom. And he surprisingly, was the gym wasn't there.
He was late to coffee in the morning.
Yeah, that's because I was completely evacuating my system after a dodgy service station meal that we had.
I didn't know. Good Lord. Tasted good, you wanted though. To go with that.
Honestly. Oh,
God. I thought you were going to say that Rick was late.
No, he was very early.
No, Rick was early. Rick was taking this seriously.
Oh, yeah, he was already upstairs. Sorry, yeah, we didn't see his car.
He was like a Bond villain waiting to turn around in a chair.
Yeah, because you're speaking of Bond villain, he did apparently have a driver.
He did have a driver, yeah. Dressed all in black.
Wearing aviator sunglasses, not looking Pete directly in the eye.
Had a white cap that he was...
Little earpiece.
Oh, God. Do you think that Rick was taking it seriously because he has a chance this year? Or do you think that Rick was taking it seriously because he knows he has no chance and that's the only way to make the video good for him?
I think that Rick this year actually wants to play some good golf. And I think he's been getting a few pelters by being a bit... dodge at the start of this year.
Right.
So I think he's like trying to improve, trying to get better, which obviously we all want to do. But I think with Rick, because he's doing so many more like playing videos now, if he has a bad few weeks and he films lots of content, it's obviously going to show. So yeah, I think it's good to kind of take golf a little bit more seriously, to try and practice, to try and grind. And you'll have to see obviously how the match goes when these videos are released. And it's going to be the Monday after the Masters for the picking of the clubs, and then the Friday for the actual match.
Yes.
I believe, yes.
Yeah, which is like 1, 2, 3 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Talking about shopping, I think Jacob has a bit of a...
I have a bone to pick.
Yeah, I saw this on the itinerary for this episode of the podcast, and I thought to myself, it says basically Mick has effed up.
Yeah, I wrote it in capitals, but it got reduced down to lower letters because that's how angry I am.
I capped up the first.
It's gone leading caps.
I started
to shout every word, but then I've just sort of delved back into being a little bit calm and little.
You won there at the
end. Another stupid reference. Yeah. I have a little bit of a bone to pick, and this is nothing to do with the fact that I won the majors picks of last year. If you don't know what I'm referring to, last year we picked 4 golfers to represent each individual at the table, and wherever they finished in the leaderboard was the points they received. Mm-hmm. And whoever won got pride, and whoever lost, who I believe, I checked with you guys, I think it was Mick, right? Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It was Mick. Yeah.
Thank you. It was a shocking defeat.
Yeah, I agree. I remember this that being was, the case as well. Yeah,
that's fine.
You were supposed to do some shopping or some filling up of some food cupboards. It was so long ago, my mind's gone a little bit blank, but it was also so long ago that it's been quite a while since you've done it. So,
yeah. So,
I wonder what your thoughts were on that situation.
We've been a little hungry in the office.
Mm.
Yeah, I know. You ate probably three portions of lasagna before we filmed this podcast.
Yes, I did.
Eight.
Yeah, that's true.
Inhaled.
Engulfed.
You know what? It was actually on a bed of mashed potato and beans as
it
well.
It was, yeah, from leftover dinner last night.
I've never seen anything like it.
It's unbelievable. So, what Jacob is talking about is the fact that, yes, I lost the Masters Picks draft system game that we implemented last year as the first ever round of, which we are going to be doing again this year. Yes, I lost. And the forfeit for said loss was to fill the pantry cupboard in the office full of food.
Mm.
And it will be done.
Brilliant.
Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
Thy food will come.
We've heard it all before, though, mate. You know what I mean? We've heard it all before.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to... I know you have, because this is the second time I've recorded this bit, because it wasn't recorded before.
Just time and time again. It's just another opportunity for you to repeat. Yeah, yeah, I'll get it sorted.
No, I will. And this is coming out. The next episode, when that episode releases, actually you two won't be here, because you're working from home. And you're off somewhere.
What for what? For the Majors Picks?
For the next episode.
For the
Majors Picks, you won't be here. That's why we can't do it on the Monday. Anyway, the cupboard will be full. And what I would like to do, if it's okay with you guys, is to take some requests. I'm like a wedding DJ. I've got through my list and I've thought, do you know what? What do these guys want? What do they want to dance to? What do they want to party to? So you can have one definite item each, and then some suggestions. You.
The original kind of plan and what we had before when Pete first stocked it, we had lots of tins, we had lots of pot noodles, instant noodles, shall we say. So that's definitely high up on the list. More specifically, the sober version of an instant noodle.
The ones with the holes in the lid, Jacob.
I will tell you why. Because they have holes in the lid. And the reason they have holes in the lid is once you put the water in said instant noodle, you can then strain them, which means that they're not all wet and brothy. And
it's just wild. It's just absolutely
one of the weirdest
wild
things I've ever heard.
Look, it's a potentially controversial opinion. I may be the only person at the table that believes in that opinion, but it's my opinion and that's what I want. And you've asked me for my decisions of food, and that's what I would like, please, Mr. Warwick.
Sober noodles,
particularly if they have, I can't remember, it's either like mega sober, yeah, or like it's
the
bigger.
Holes are bigger.
It gets the water out, yeah, more.
It's like a watering can.
And then just as a,
the noodles come out.
I'll compliment like savory with sweet. Me and Kieran are probably the only two tea drinkers, I think, in the office. Everyone else goes for coffees. But I'd love a really good dunking biscuit that I could go with my tea.
Okay.
In particular, don't know if anyone's indulged in these before, but it's a malted milk kind of biscuit, but then it has a layer of chocolate on top. So it gives it that
Not
kind
like
of...
like a Leibniz.
Kind of, but the Leibniz biscuit...
Oh, I think
biscuit,
I've seen those.
Yeah, the Leibniz biscuit's a little bit more like brittle.
It's like a rich tea.
Yeah. I want the malted milk with chocolate on top.
Do you not like a hobnob?
I do like a hobnob. But again, if you want to do hobnobs with a layer of chocolate.
I feel there's a theme.
Basically, anything with a layer of chocolate
anything
is great.
Anything covered in chocolate. Yeah.
If you want to just buy chocolate and just get rid of the biscuit element, then that also works.
That really solves it. You.
Please may I have Reese's Pieces.
Correct.
Just the one, you know, with the three. You know, that come in the
Are you going to eat all three of them, or are they for three different people?
I'll eat all three in one go.
You'll stack them and bite them?
Yeah, like in one go as in like one sitting.
Right.
Yeah, that. Then to go with Jacob's like biscuits, please can we have Barry's Tea?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Barry's Tea, which is really, really nice. And then like something with fruit in it. So like a cereal bar or something like that.
Okay.
Just something a little
Nutri-Grain.
Yeah, a little bit more healthy.
Something that doesn't... I don't think Nutri-Grains are healthy, to be completely honest.
No, just something healthy. I mean, I would have gone for like fruit, but...
I tell you what.
We have got a fridge.
We need a shelf life, though.
I've got some
bars in mind that I know that we used to have back home, which I think you'll like. I'll try to find out the name.
There was some bars in mind, like a rapper. Yeah, there was some on the fairway down that were quite nice that we used to nick. But
Nick, you're going to go for ravioli, different types of soup, and spaghetti with sausages in it.
Nope.
Oh yeah, what? That's spaghetti with sausages.
No, spaghetti with sausages. No,
that's like, me.
No, I don't. I don't want those cancerous little blobs of crap floating around in my spaghetti. The sausages straight in those tins are absolutely disgusting.
I'm not buying it. Like, I'm not eating it. Why? For nutritional purposes.
Those sausages look like if you open that tin, they should float to the top.
They should. Yeah, they do look like they're alive.
And they should have, like, rather than eyes, they should have, like, crosses in the mouth. Like, that's what they should look like. So, no, not that. By all means,
stick it on my list.
Tin ravioli, tin spaghetti, alfabeti spaghetti, all that kind of jazz. Great. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fine with that. And lots of soup. Rice pudding, bit of caviar.
Oh, caviar.
Not together.
Caviar?
Yeah, I like caviar.
I like caviar, but...
Massively overrated. I don't want it.
I don't know if they do caviar in Costco where I'm planning on going.
I bet they do.
I bet it's giant as well.
A big old bucket.
Massive buckets of caviar.
Damn it.
Isn't that caviar like really expensive?
Yeah, typically.
Good caviar is. You can buy dodgy fish eggs wherever you want, mate.
Caviar is massively expensive.
Right. Hence.
Honestly, I told you when I went to the Dorchester in London. And Carly, like, stitched me up.
Yes, but please tell the story to
the audience.
So, Dorchester, 3-star Michelin restaurant. When I basically got Carly for Christmas, like, it was spenny. Big time spenny. And we went in there, and I was like, I obviously want her to have a lovely time. We'll do the tasting menu. You know, anything you want, honey. Don't mind.
Love that. On payday, we're getting a takeaway.
Honestly.
You'll go to the Dorchester.
We sat down, and the first thing the waiter said, oh, would you like some champagne?
Lovely.
And I'm like, oh.
Ooh, that feels like a loaded question.
This ain't included.
No, right, okay.
And he's like, would you like some champagne? We have a rosé champagne special. And Carl's like, yes, of course.
Did she ask how much it was?
Of course not. and the thing is, he knew what he was doing. He just brought the bottle, stuck it down. I'm like, great. And then he comes over again and said, so we've got the set menu. He said, also, with the menu, we have a special arrangement for this evening.
Was he narrating a nature documentary?
Basically. He said, you know, we have whatever it was, scallops or something, and we can add the beluga caviar if you wish. And before I even had a chance to say no, because I'm not a massive caviar fan, it doesn't really make how expensive it is, doesn't really make a lot of sense. Carl is like, yes, please. And I'm like, and he comes over and he literally opens the tin at the table and he's like scooping it out, and I can see the pounds.
50 pounds.
Just coming out. And honestly, like, I think it was 3 or 4 scoops and it cost about an extra 60 quid.
Wow. But you paid for the experience, Peter. It was opened at your table.
It's so small. It's not worth it.
No, I agree.
And there's such small eggs from have you seen a sturgeon that they come from?
Yeah. Big old fish.
It's like a river-based shark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Massive. Leave the sturgeons alone.
Have you seen the, what is it? A different type of egg. The ones that, you know, when you put them in your mouth, they burst.
Cod roe.
Which are very nice. That's so much nicer.
And I don't want that either. So, if you could stock up the shelves with everything apart from cod roe and caviar, that'd be great.
Yeah.
And no sausages and spaghetti.
And that'll be on the Majors Picks episode. We'll get, like, a nice photo of it all together ready to go for you.
And if you go this time of year, mini eggs. Just pile them in.
Oh, that's a good point.
Just pile them in.
I tell you what. We'll get some Easter eggs.
Easter eggs, that'll be nice.
They are quite expensive, though. But talking about expensive, we've been looking at golf club memberships because Jacob has thankfully given up the evil sport of cricket and has decided to dedicate more time to golf this year.
And you've been looking at memberships.
Where have you been looking, and just what the hell have you found?
I've decided to step away from cricket. Maybe again. I don't know. This is like another retirement until next time.
Do you know what it was? When we came to watch you, that was your
peak.
Your testimonial.
Yeah.
And then you just sack it off.
That's all I needed. Yeah. I just, yeah, I you don't just, really.
You mashed a load of sixes. They lost some balls. Yeah. You got out for like 80 70 something. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah, no, that was a good day. I'm happy that you all got to see my cricketing ability in person. But no, it was it was a decision that I wanted to make, because I feel like I'm on the edge of, if I really, really commit to my golf, and I think, because one of the big things, I just don't play enough. I don't play on proper courses. I've hit too many balls off a mat. I can play sim golf to fine standard. It's just not the same. And I've been looking for memberships. I've obviously been looking in the local area. I've been looking all the way around Manchester. And just one of the big things that just is kind of playing in my mind of making this decision is how much golf and how much am I going to get out of my, you know, financial input into buying a membership. Because at the minute, Manchester, it's where it's miserable. It's starting to turn around. It's getting a bit lighter in the evenings. But these courses have been shut for so long. And the last thing I want to be doing is, you know, putting money into something that I'm not getting anything out of. It's just, in my mind, essentially kind of throwing money away a little bit. And it's a conversation that I've brought up with you guys.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's a lot and kind of stemmed what we're probably going to talk about now, in the membership of what it actually brings and how much do you get out of it and what are you really looking for when you get into a membership. You mentioned the cricket side of things, and that's the big thing for me, is that even though I'm not going to be playing that anymore, I still got that competitive sport element out of playing that on a Saturday, and I want to continue that with my golf. I want to play in comps. I want to be a part of that. You know, I want my name on the board. I want to take the cup home. You know, I want that kind of, when I'm playing golf, it's got that competitive edge to it. And that's one of the things that comes with the membership. So I will open the floor to other people of what they think I should do. Also, what you kind of think about golf memberships, especially you, Pete, because I mean, you've been in and around golf clubs longer than we have. You've worked at golf clubs. What do you think? Like, is it worth getting a membership?
No.
Oh.
I would say at this moment in time, if you're looking to join a golf club, it's not worth it. There's no way it's worth it, because golf clubs haven't been open for a start. Mm. Like, you haven't been able to actually get any worthwhile playing time for the amount of money that you're going to be sticking in there. And considering the amount of cost to actually join a golf club now is going up. Like, if you want a good golf club, the chances are you're going to be paying about $1,000.
Yeah,
just on the membership. Like, some clubs still do have a joining fee, some others don't. But also, unless you're of a certain age, like, you guys are kind of probably in that range where you can still get a tiered membership.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say.
But not every club does that. Like, the only clubs that are generally doing that are ones that want to welcome new members, and that's not always the case. Like, my dad this year, at his club, he's played twice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's retired, loves his golf, wants to play more. Just not been able to.
Yeah.
It's just
been closed.
Yeah.
And like, some days it's been carry only. He can't carry anymore. Like, he's got a dodgy back. So it's kind of like, it gets to the point where he's saying, well, should I take the money that I'm going to invest in this membership, have a look at how many times I'm going to play over the year, and say, well, for £1,000, if I'm only playing once a month, I might as well take that, you know, £120 or whatever it's going to cost, and then put that into individual rounds. Play some amazing courses.
Yeah.
I think I'm very much pro memberships, but I'm thinking about it more. Like, I genuinely do believe that is because of the category age I'm in. Mm. You know, at the moment, I just renewed my membership, £350. You know, so you know, I'm pretty happy with that, because obviously we're getting into a season now where I'm going to want to be playing at least twice a week after, you know, after work and stuff like that, especially with it now getting lighter. So in that sense, you know, I'm coming up to like reaping the rewards of having a membership. Mm-hmm. I can just go to a club, just turn up and, you know, tee off on the first, you know, whereas like you say, over the last couple of months, I mean, it was the first time I played in since like October, and there was 11 holes open, all temp greens, all temp tees. It just wasn't particularly very fun, which is the issue. But that, you know, that's obviously we have had a horrific winter, you know, nationally, you know, and, you know, not just...
Yeah, everywhere's wet.
Yeah, no, I mean, even like you're saying, some of the links courses have struggled, you know, like these are things that are like sand-based, you know, obviously... I'm not an agronomist or whatever it is, but you know, I'm all I know is that sand is good.
Clay bad.
Yeah, sand clay is good bad. For sand.
Good clay
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So
no mud.
You know, and if links courses are struggling, it just shows how much other courses will. But yeah, hopefully we're getting into better weather.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's the point you make as well. Obviously, where you play at Didsbury, obviously spoken about it a few times, but like the price of that, I think it's maybe like £100 more for me in my age range, which if I pay that and I play for 6 months of the year, I don't necessarily feel too bad about that. Like, I feel like, and yeah, I, you know, if exactly. I have that membership, I would go and play every weekend. And like you say, after work, it's much easier to go and play. And I think that's kind of the thing as well, is like that freedom of just having the ability. You know, you've got somewhere that you can go and play and just sign up and go whenever you like.
So I've never been a member of a golf club before. How do you book your tee time online, or can you literally just turn up to the golf club and be like, am I all right to go out? And they're like, yeah, go out, and you just go and play.
Well, yeah, normally it's you would just book your tee time, but yeah, I mean, you can rock up and you can go and practice, you know, like use the facilities. Obviously, you know, not a lot of Manchester courses have ranges, but you know, if you've got a range, you just use
again,
those
a good point, so, really good point. Like, you know, taking into account of the prices you pay for these places, obviously with other courses, you are paying for the membership, but then you might also be playing to access for a range and a practice facility for short game and, you know, top quality putting green, or, you know, all those kind of just little things that come with paying for this membership. Because I suppose you can really sort of focus in within just the pure 18 hole course and playing golf side of things. But obviously the stuff that comes with a membership as well does play a factor in how much you're paying for things.
Yeah. It was lovely to go back. I mean, a lot of the people sort of that I would normally play with on a Saturday, they hadn't seen me for 6 months. So, you know, they were like, oh, where have you been, sort of thing. So I'm like,
have you been injured?
Yeah. So, you know, it's mad that they sort of carry on and, you know, we'll play on the temp tees and temp greens, which, you know, they can do. But I don't know what you think about, like, just closing a club or a golf club for a couple of months. You know what I mean? Just let it.
Well, I mean, they've not had... So it's been enforced. Yeah. So that's the problem. Like, you're almost talking about there, like, closing a course for a while to let it recover, to get it in better condition. Like, the courses certainly around here haven't been closed because they wanted to be. I went at Reddish this morning for a few holes, and they were saying that a lot of people have come to play there because literally everywhere else has been shut.
Yeah.
So it's such a hard one, because, you know, I would love everybody to be a member of a club. I think the environment that can be created there at a good membership is fantastic, and you can meet some really good friends. You can get your handicap. You can play competitively if you want to. Or like Mick said, you know, the chances are you'll be able to just like rock up and play. Like, if you get a spare evening, you can go up. It very much depends on the type of course that you're at, because there's some like municipal courses that offer kind of discounted membership rates and things like that. So there are a lot of options out there. But at the moment, I mean, it really puts it into stark contrast situationally in the northwest of the UK as well, because we've just come back from Carolina. Obviously, the course is over there.
Yeah.
They're obviously open
and dry
and dry and great condition, and prices for memberships at some of the courses that we were playing are obviously going to be completely out of reach for the vast majority of people. Like, we're never going to become a member of Pinehurst number 2.
Yeah.
That attitude.
Yeah. He's got a good point.
Not with that account. I think was what he meant to say. Never going to be a member of a course like that. So the chances of being able to rock up on a Saturday morning and then no one be on the course that you're a member at is going to be very small.
Yeah.
But there are still a lot of really good courses out there if you're willing to stump up that cash.
Yeah, I think the question for me was like, in those bits where you're in the bits of the year where you're not playing, are you getting enough benefit from the social side and the, you know, potentially if there's coaching or the, you know, the shop or the bar, or like, are you getting enough benefit for your, you know, for me, I don't unfortunately fit into any of those brackets anymore because I'm too old. But the, like, am I getting, if I'm paying 1500 quid for the year and I'm playing golf, you know, that compressed period in the middle of the year where the course is usable and all the greens are open, all the tees are open, you can hit off grass. Is the rest of it worth it?
Yeah, no, I agree with you there.
That's where places like, so I say I've not been a member, I now have Golf Now, which is the kind of like access to tee times for lots of courses all at once. But you do have to be quick.
Do you have to pay a membership for that, or what's the situation?
So paid for the year.
Right, okay.
It's only like 100 quid.
Right, right.
And then you get a £25 credit each month to spend on very specific tee times that golf clubs can't get rid of.
Right, okay, got
it. So they call them hot deals.
Right.
Which feels a bit sexy to me, but that's fine.
Yeah.
They'll
call them that.
Yeah.
Hot sexy deals.
Hot sexy deals. In fact, they should rebrand. But basically, so for an example, Ashton on Mersey, which is the golf course that I played the first time I ever played golf when I moved to Manchester, they have two tee times on the hot deals each day, and they're 9:08 and 9:18.
Right.
So if you go to work,
yeah,
you can't do those ones.
Yeah.
So then you end up having to just pay on top because your credit's only for those hot deal jobs.
Right, okay, got you.
But it's great for someone like me who's not going to get to play as golf as much as you guys do.
Yeah.
I can be like, oh, cool, I'm going to Market Harborough this weekend, find a golf course in Market Harborough, go and play that.
Do you get, like, does the credit roll up sort of thing?
I don't know. It expires after a month.
Can you build up to, like, 250 and then play on Royal Burt then?
Yeah.
end of the year, I'll go to County Down. Yeah.
I great round of golf.
I don't think those courses are on there, unfortunately.
That's a great business.
But,
I like that.
But, however, it does come with the membership. Other versions of this are available. There's also Play More Golf, which is like one of those pay and you get credits to spend at courses. Like, we're not affiliated with them yet, unless I want to, you know, stump up some cash and sponsor the podcast, which would be great. But the tee times are still quite expensive. So your 25 quid credit is only available for those select ones.
Yeah.
Your £99 that you spend, you get access to all that stuff, the codes for the cheaper tee times, and you get £40 tailor-made store credit.
Oh, wow.
So Daddy's going to get some new balls.
I reckon there'll be some chickens as well.
Which I'm going to smash into the woods at various courses around the country.
What did I see about this LA like tee time stuff? I haven't read much into it, but what's happened with that?
Okay, so the story is that in Los Angeles, some Korean bot hackers basically bought up all of the local municipal tee times that were available for just, you know, general citizens who aren't members of clubs, and sold them on their website at an additional rate. So if you wanted to go and play golf at a golf course in LA that wasn't a private members club, the only way to get a tee time was to go through this website and pay more than you should have done.
So it's the LA Department of Recreation and Parks is basically getting sued by golfers now because they're not doing enough to stop what is effectively when a popular concert, Taylor Swift, like someone buying up all the tickets and reselling them.
Yeah.
That's what these kind of bots were doing. They were just scooping up all these tickets. Yeah.
That's wild.
But the thing is, in LA, it's... The supply and demand is like so out of kilter. Mm-hmm. I don't know a lot about the LA golf scene. I've only been a few times, but my impression of it is if you're a member of one of the country clubs, like the private courses, great, you know, pay you 50 grand and you can have a great time. If you want to get on a public course, it's brutal.
It's really difficult.
Honestly, like just fighting on the tee, desperate to get there.
Really?
And it's just...
I was the 1037. No, I was the 1037.
Because like most golf courses, and especially like if it's a council course, like a public course over there, They'll obviously be getting a lot of turnover through those courses. The chances of them being like a super high quality are low.
Yeah.
And affected a lot of like councils, a lot of government run facilities like this, they'll get sold off, especially in LA, because like housing prices, if you have a public golf course, which is not that great, and the council, local government, whatever version, whatever phrasing you want to use, can sell that off for like 20 million.
Yeah.
To them, it might
some
make
developers.
Sense. Oh, developers are going to build $100 million mansions on there.
Yeah.
They're going to love it. Or like gate it, turn it into a private golf course and get money that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, like these bots have just been like scooping up all these times and then reselling them for, you know, extra $10, $20, whatever it's been.
Which, if you want to play golf and that's the only way to do it, you're like, I don't have another choice.
Yeah.
So I will have to pay the dodgy bots. Yeah, I mean, here's the cash. Like, if you want to go and see Taylor Swift and someone bought all the floor seats already, you got to pay 500.
But it just seems, just seems crazy. Like you say, like a tea time.
Yeah.
It's just wild. But yeah, if there's the demand, then fair enough.
It is. It's the whole
supply and demand.
Yeah, the whole thing. Like, if this was in Scotland.
Yeah.
They ain't fighting over tea times in Manchester, are
they? Imagine that. Imagine if a bot brought up all like the St Andrews old course ones.
which is a point, actually. I forgot, we haven't mentioned this. That have you seen that the old course is going completely electronic?
No queuing anymore.
You can't sleep outside.
Well, I don't think you really should have before, but
Is it actually happening?
Yeah.
And they're going to do, correct me if I'm wrong here, like a digital queue as well.
Yes.
Oh.
So you can be sat
at home. A digital ballot, basically.
You can be sat at home drinking your morning coffee with your feet up and someone texts you and goes, you're on in 10 minutes.
I don't like
but
that.
Like that is, in a sense, the only thing with that digital thing, the only thing they're getting rid of is you having to get up at the crack of dawn at 4 to get in a queue to then get told the position you are, because then you don't just stand there like waiting with your bags on the first, you can go away and then they message you. So it's like the only thing it does is just takes away having to get there super early, which I love but it's
that, like, you know, you go in the Dunvegan, you'll be saying, oh yeah, you know, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go and get tea time, you know what I mean? I'm old-fashioned, but you'll be able
to program your dodgy bot to scalp all the tea times at the old course.
It, yeah.
And then you'll just be able to decide which one you want. Like, I've got all of them. I'm going out at 8:30.
Kevin, don't worry, you can still do that from the Dunvegan.
I was up on the computer.
You gotta move with the times, sir. You gotta move with the times.
I do like the idea of having that physical connection of being able to get up.
The story and everything behind it is nice.
Have you played the old course? And like, I know a lot of people, you guys probably have heard off people said, have you played the old course? Yeah. I got up at 3, joined the queue, did that.
You know, it's a bit different to like, I woke up and register my phone and then got a text. Yeah.
It's very different.
Oh. Just lost its magic, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has, yeah. No, that's
do you remember also? Do you remember also a time when, you know, like if you wanted to go to France, you'd have to go on a ship because planes didn't exist?
Nope, those ships still exist.
Just move forward with the times. Things have to advance. Do you remember when drivers only went 200 yards? Well, they still do.
They will in
still do. For
yeah. So far, you've managed to name two things which
still
exist.
Yeah, I'm not getting your point, but
things advance, things move on. It's better for everyone. It means that people don't have to sleep on dodgy concrete. They probably got some complaints because people. It's not dodgy. The concrete's not dodgy. I'm sorry. You. They don't have
sacred
to sleep.
Ground you're talking about
on concrete. Apologies. Remove the dodgy. Edit that out. They probably got a complaint from someone who really wanted to play the old course and slept on the floor, had a crick neck, and then couldn't swing.
I'm going to throw it out there, say that's probably not the reason why. Unfortunately, in the world we live in, it all comes down to the readies.
What?
I'm going to guess that they can better digitize the tea times and get every single space filled.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
Sad. No man.
Cash.
Well, okay. I mean, it's like you say, things move on. I mean, we quickly moving on from the
we're going to go to the Q&A now that Kieran's just deleted. Sorry, everybody. Kieran does want to
do this. I was about to go into that. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I just feel like we've been on this podcast for a long time.
No, it's fine. So, Kieran doesn't care about what
I'm going to blend into it. I'll stick the landing. It's okay.
It's all good.
I say, obviously, we were speaking about memberships and I was asking you the question of, you know, should I get one? And I think now it's probably a time for people to ask you questions. And I think from the Discord and the internet and all that kind of stuff.
Love that.
Well done.
Yeah.
Is that okay with you, Kieran? Karen.
Good landing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I just
make them quick.
Yeah, yeah, I just got the vibe that.
Just read out the person's name. That's read out the question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Went on social, asked for a Q&A, and I
Not really.
Unbelievable. Brutal.
I can't.
Type of perfect digitized the system.
Some of these. Do you know what? I'm just not even going to read them out.
He just wants our sympathy now. Go and eat some more lasagna.
I got a lot more where it comes from, so don't you worry about that.
What is it? As soon as the phone comes out, you grab the microphone.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it.
Tables right there.
Well, I just quite enjoy it, you know. It's just like, it just means I can turn a lot more. Enough. Do you know what I mean? Because I got to do this. Right. I don't like it.
Before you start the Q&A, I'm just going to make a small announcement.
No worries.
This table has served us well.
Yeah.
It ain't staying. So in the very near future, keep your eyes peeled, because in the very near future, I'm going to build. I'm going to build our podcast, our new podcast table.
Not going to be on next episode.
No, not on the next one, but in the near future.
No, it's probably not going to be on the next one after that.
During the summer.
Next year.
Let's be honest. Should we just like set a deadline for like June?
I'll do it before the open.
Yeah. To be honest with you guys, I'm probably just going to get somebody in. Because we don't want this to turn into another Mick Pantry story. Where we get the new studio set up and we all just
wait for
the
table.
Come on, he gets to hold his microphone. Okay, questions, go.
GRB2493, when is a live podcast happening?
Ooh, that's a good point. 100, episode 100.
Don't believe in the genre. So
yeah. Can't monetize.
I'm going to say, yeah, episode 100 seems to be a really good number, but I have no idea. Bear in mind, we're still just talking about trying to organize building a table. Like, yeah. The chance of putting on a live show. Yeah.
If I remember rightly, the 100th episode, it kind of falls in around maybe like October, November time, I think. So maybe a little pencil it in, see what happens.
Pencil it in. See what happens. Dave Ward, 1993. Is there going to be any merch coming soon?
Yes, there will be. However, we have literally zero experience within this field. So I am going to ask for some professional advice on how best to make the merch, because we want stuff which is actually decent, and how to distribute said merchandise as well. Also, this year we're going to be doing... we're going to try and get a lot more like discounted links with our partners.
Okay.
So, because obviously, like Ozio, for example, like, you know, channel partner, we don't really know how to make any bags, for example. Ozio already make amazing bags. Why not try and get some discounts?
That sounds cool.
We'll figure that out.
Love that. Love that.
12th of November is going to be the 100th episode.
Very good.
12th of November.
Next one. Now, this has been mentioned a lot of the times. I know we can't speak about it much, but it just has to be answered because there's a lot about the Myrtle Beach. When can people expect everything?
God, you are not ready.
I think I want to say that the Myrtle Beach video is out on...
I think it's the 23rd is the actual video. 26th. But ours is the 26th.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes. So 23rd is the official video, which is of everybody. And then our video is on the 26th, where you can see me.
So you will know on the 23rd is the first possible point that you will know how everything played down. Yeah. But on the 26th, that's when you get the real behind the scenes.
The 23rd of April is a day in our lives.
Is it?
The 71st podcast. The Myrtle Beach qualifier video comes out. Uh-huh. Their one. The PJ North series at Outlane on the Quest mini series. And a St. George's Day.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
St. George's Day is the one thing which isn't in our diary, because we are English and we don't care. Because guess what? Guess what, guys? I've got news for you. He didn't kill the dragon.
No.
Absolute BS artist. Somebody let him get away with it, and it went way too far.
The story just kept going.
George was down the pub, and he was like, hey, lads, guess what I did today? I killed a dragon. And then they're like, Dave.
He
used to be called Dave. They're like, yeah, George, of course you did, mate. Of course you did. Say, no, seriously, I did. Yeah. I said, yeah, of course you did, George. And then he just got away with it.
Yeah. Next day, he like manufactured a dragon's head and pulled it in.
And that's who we got. That's who we got. We got the guy with the fake dragon.
I reckon it started as I caught a fish.
Yeah.
And it's just escalated until eventually he'd killed a dragon.
Yeah.
I'm going to clip this because I think that's obviously very topical at the moment, isn't it? The whole George Cross thing.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah. It's like football kit job.
God, for God's sake.
All right, let's get over it.
Who gives a flying crap? Honestly, who cares?
Let the boys play. Yeah. Let them play.
Yeah. Who cares?
Next.
Yep.
Go on, next question.
Right, this is the final question. How important is the golf ball for actually improving your golf? Like, is a Pro V1 actually going to get you better? Or can you, you know, suffice with a Strix and soft feel?
I'll slice anything.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I'd probably say that the ball, if you're looking at technology advancement, the ball is probably the most important thing over the past 20 years or so.
Right, okay.
30 years, really. Like, that's been... the two go hand in hand. So obviously modern golf clubs are designed around modern golf balls.
Right.
So you can't really kind of have one without the other, but the biggest leap in tech over the last 30 years has definitely been the golf ball.
In what sort of sense? Is that from how it's made or like the...
Oh, the construction, yeah. I mean, right. Bear in mind you've gone from like being a wound, elasticated core to like multiple layers all doing different jobs. Like that's the big difference, definitely.
And so would you say that the more premium ball like offers you more forgiveness or distance, more distance? Yeah.
No, I mean if you want to hit the ball straighter, get the highest spinning golf ball you can. That's the simplest thing I can say. Like the ball a ball will spin, the straighter it will go. Mm-hmm. Like it's as simple as that. The advantage with the premium balls is that they fulfill multiple functions. They'll spin on like shorter shots, they'll spin less with the driver, things like that.
Right.
But the majority of golfers watching this, if you got like a £15 for a dozen box and you got a box of Pro Vs, would that actually change the scoreboard? Yeah,
right, probably not. They both hit the woods at the same speed, so it doesn't matter.
My question would be, I suppose, is if I went to go play golf and I played the exact same round of golf, but one I teed up a Pro V1, the other I put a Pinnacle down, is my score going to be any different if I play to my handicap average?
You would play if you hit, like had exactly the same swing.
Yes, everything.
You would have a better round, most likely
with a better
the Pro
ball.
V1. Okay. However,
yes.
Let's say you were after just distance. Let's say you were a very short hitter of the golf ball. Maybe the Pinnacle would actually work out better because you're going to hit it further.
Cool. Okay.
I like that. There's a couple of questions on that. So
it's an understanding of what your game and what the ball does. Maybe people need to go a little bit more in depth of actually how those two marry up.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a real world scenario for you on that one.
Okay.
Lauren's stepdad, Martin, he has been told by someone, he doesn't hit the ball very far. He's in his 60s. He doesn't hit the ball very far. He hits woods on some par threes like my dad does, which is cool. For his age, he's a very, very good golfer. He's been told by someone that he... because he wants more distance, he should play a Titleist AVX. Ooh. Does that make any sense? Because we just bought them for his birthday and they're expensive.
Oh, you've actually got them.
I bought them for him. Probably two birthdays in a row. Good ball.
Yeah, they're a great ball. Yeah, they're perfect for mine. No, you're holding them back. Yeah. It's so different. So AVX is the lowest spinning of the premium Titleist ball range.
Okay.
If, for example, Martin can't hit the ball in the air,
mm-hmm.
getting him a low spinning golf ball is not going to help him.
Okay.
It's going to hinder more than anything because he won't be able to launch it high enough.
Okay, but if he just wants distance and straightness?
It's a combination because, like, say he's hitting the AVX and he hits it too low and it's not carrying far enough, then he'll lose distance.
Oh, God, it's so much science.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. It's wild.
Mad on the golf ball.
Like you've got to get the combination between launch, carry, and then roll.
Mm.
Like, again, it depends on the course you play. Like, if you're playing a bone-hard links and you hit it about 10 foot off the ground, but it's rolling for 150 yards.
I mean, yeah, he plays all of his golf in baked-out Portugal, so...
What type of ground? It's a little bit more complicated than that, but generally, if you're like a high handicap golfer, you're not going to benefit that much from Pro V1.
Okay, so the last thing before we get to Guess the Player is that we have started something that we've probably been talking about doing amongst ourselves for a long time, which is that we have started a match series between the three of us who aren't Peter Finch on our social channels. So match one should be out by now, in theory,
yeah.
Which is their three-hole match play matches, us playing against each other. You're giving me two shots.
Yeah.
You'll give Jacob's
I'll give Jacob
give,
one. And then
you're
Jacob,
giving me one.
Yeah.
The first one went quite badly to start with.
Yeah.
And then we managed to hit the ball where we wanted it.
I had a good drive on the first. I don't want to give it away. But actually, good drive, but you
lost
to the left
level.
And it doesn't mean that we're segregating you out of this, by the way. It just means that we might build up to
Don't worry
you.
About it.
Yeah.
You
know maybe,
I
mean? Maybe
that's what it is. It's like we're doing like all the little mini levels. We haven't got to the boss fight quite yet.
No, I think maybe whoever wins out of us thought takes
take
on
something.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's fine. You don't try and strike me. I understand when I'm not welcome. this is like walking past a pub and you see all your mates in there and they've not invited you.
Oh, that is dagger.
That's smelly, that.
Oh, wow.
And I'm looking in there like, okay, fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm going to go home crying cars
Would
out.
You?
I just go in the pub. Wouldn't you? If you went past your mates, wouldn't you just go in the pub?
Yeah, you have no social understanding. Right,
so hold on, you would technically have to give... So say we cut you in, right?
No,
I don't want to be involved.
It's easy. You'd get three shots, 2-1.
Would you?
Actually, I might even get one.
Would you like to beat us at Guess the Player instead? Would that make you feel a little bit better?
Oh, I'd do that anyway.
Well, yeah, but...
Okay, that was very, very confident. Hello and welcome back to the 2024 Rough Cut Open. This is the game where your knowledge of golf history is more important than your ability to actually hit the ball. How the game works. At the end of each episode, I describe the life and career of a famous golfer, and after each clue, these accomplished professionals write down who they think it is. However many hints it takes them to get home is how many shots they took on that hole. So... if you get a par 5 after just 4 clues, you would finish that hole in 1 under par. Let's rejoin the players as we play this week's hole. So welcome to Guess the Player. Today we're playing a par 3.
Oh, I feel like we haven't had one in a while.
No.
You are right. In fact, this might even be the first one on the front.
Okay.
What
hole are we on?
We are on the 1, 2, 3, 4. We're on the 8th.
Oh, oh, it's a long slog.
Halfway hut's coming out. Thank God.
This is the first par 3. But there's gonna be a lot of par 3s on the back. A lot of gettable ones. The Discord played it this morning.
Mm-hmm. You got a chance.
You got a little chance.
Right, okay.
You got a little chance.
Who was the player this morning? Give him a little shout out, or do we not know?
Oh, yeah, it was Thomas.
Oh, thank you.
And the day that this comes out, we will have played golf together yesterday.
Oh, so you're playing at Mark Harborough?
No, I'm playing with him and one of his golfy friends at a place just south of Market Harborough in... just north of Nottingham.
So that's the Monday.
Right.
That's on the Monday.
All right, cool.
Because we're off on Bank Holiday Monday, isn't it?
Yeah. You love Bank Holiday Monday.
Have a good Friday. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
What a long weekend of no editing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Shot number one.
That's me. Thank the baby Jesus.
Not the baby. Grown up Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, is it grown up Jesus?
Yeah.
Long hair Jesus.
Yeah. Debatable.
Snuffed it Jesus.
Shot number one. This player... makes their own coffee. I make my own coffee, he said. I put just a double shot of espresso.
I thought that was the end of the quote.
A little honey, a little cinnamon, and then sometimes I do iced, sometimes I do hot. This player makes their own coffee. In quotes, I make my own coffee, he said. I just put a double shot of espresso, a little honey, a little cinnamon, and then sometimes I do iced, sometimes I do hot.
Got away with words.
Now, have we confirmed that the people in this Guess the Player are not YouTubers?
I know you were going to say that, Michael Morris.
I think they have to be tall professionals.
Or retired.
Well, hold on, because
Morris Flitcroft.
We had Morris Flitcroft.
Right, okay.
Played in the open.
Now I feel like it is Micah Morris.
Definitely is Micah Morris.
So now we've got like the, this is just opening up a whole can of coffee on us here, because now it's gone away from tour professionals to they can just play golf.
They can be anyone.
Wow.
Yeah, Donald Trump.
Just is coming.
Is it you?
Imagine him having cinnamon. Honey, cinnamon and honey in his coffee.
I do like cinnamon.
Do you?
I do like honey, but I've never really put them together in a coffee before because that sounds blasphemous.
Yeah, you shouldn't even put milk in coffee, in my opinion. But that's for another day. Shot number two. You should be on the green.
Yeah.
All right. This player is an investor in the Texas Ranchers, a pickleball team. This player is an investor in the Texas Ranchers, a pickleball team.
All right, so no one got a hole in one and no one's got a birdie.
I don't know. Pete's just folded.
I mean, that will add literally nothing to my first guess.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think I need to move off mine. I think.
Did you come up short?
Yeah.
Chip, 52.
I might have
chip.
Come up a couple of countries away too short.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got you.
Let's just go for this geese.
Love pickleball, by the way. Great sport.
Different to paddle, apparently.
It is.
Okay.
It's a different thing.
It's a different thing.
Completely different thing.
Do you know what? It's on par.
It's got the sober noodle holy racket.
Yes. No. And a holy racket, ball. The ball.
The ball, holy and ball.
Not the racket. The racket's are very much not getting got any holes in it.
Right. Like an oar.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Like a table tennis bat.
That's exactly what it is, yeah.
An oar.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, shot number three. This is for par. This is the most unhinged version of this game we've ever done.
Been here for a while.
Shot number three. Luckily we've only done this bit once. This player made his PGA Tour debut in May 2014 as a 17-year-old at the Byron Nelson. With his sister Callie caddying for him, he made the cut. He recorded a hole-in-one on the third round and ultimately finished 4 under par in a tie for 22nd place. However, he was ineligible for the $60,000 payout due to his amateur status. This player made his PGA Tour debut in May 2014 as a 17-year-old at the Byron Nelson. With his sister Callie caddying for him, he made the cut. He recorded a hole-in-one on the third round and ultimately finished at 4 under par in a tie for 22nd place. However, he was ineligible for the $60,000 payout due to his amateur status. Did you just cross yours out furiously?
Sorry, just
thoroughly.
This is par, yeah.
This is your par.
And so, when was the when he made his debut? What year?
It's almost as if I read it out twice.
2014.
2014.
Yeah, Byron Nelson.
At 17. Got you. 2014. At 17. Gotcha.
So how? Wait, hold on. You don't know who he is, so you can't work out how old he is now.
Okay. Well, no, you can.
We do now. Yeah.
You do now.
Yeah.
17. Okay, so you've got the year, and he was okay. Right. So how many years has it been since then?
10. So he's 27.
Maths.
No, he's not.
Quick
2017, wasn't it? Or 2014?
2014.
2014.
This is why. In 2014, he was 17.
Oh, right, sorry. I thought it was...
Right. So he's 27 right
set
now.
Set your apology.
So he's 27.
Who is it?
That's a hard one, man.
No, it's not. Should have held it by now.
Is this guy thingy or is he...
Tricky.
I haven't actually seen your
answer. It can't be him.
I don't think that's right, but in fact, I'm pretty sure it's not.
Oh, he's crossed it out again.
It's like this.
Is that like a mulligan? Are you allowed to do that?
This, I feel like, should have been the like second clue. First two clues a bit niche. This one's brilliant. Just letting it.
That's the point. You're not supposed to hold it until the third shot. It's a golf shot. You know
par.
What I mean?
You've got to play the par, yeah. Par of the hole. And yeah, I mean, the first two clues were... I drink coffee.
I invest in pickleball team.
Yeah, I could have got it from the first one.
You know the answer.
Just saying.
I am really struggling.
Thomas knew the first one.
But he didn't.
After I told him who the player was.
That isn't right, but... That isn't right, but I'm going to write it.
Okay, so if you haven't got it now, you're going to be over par for this hole. The worst you can do, of course, is two over. But if you get it on this one, I'll give you a bogey on this one. Shot number four on the par three. This golfer has one major victory.
I think I might have done it.
Love it.
I think I might have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy does.
too. But
well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't like it though.
Put a different one.
I really don't like it.
Put a different name. Oh, Peter Fincher's folded. Did you write and fold or did you fold?
I wrote and folded.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm double, triple rolling.
Oh, committed hard.
Yeah.
Double, triple rolling.
It's like six.
Six or five. Yeah. Whichever you want to take that.
Does my boy have one major? I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Oh, no, he doesn't. Oh, my God, he has two.
Yeah, it's not
and
him.
That's not right.
It's not
because he needs one.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not him either. You're an idiot.
It can't be him.
That's not right.
It can't be him because he's won two of them.
Yeah.
That's not what I wanted.
That's why the clues are there, because they're facts about the player.
Yeah, and I bet he...
And if it doesn't match up to that, then it can't be him.
And I bet the guy that is right was an investor as well in the Texas, wherever they're called.
Can we have the final clue then?
Hang on.
Jacob hasn't... That's what I'm saying. Jacob takes forever. He's Patrick Cantlay. No, that's not the answer.
Is it not?
Oh. Oh, damn it. Scroll that out.
I mean, he's not one of the majors. So. I'm going to go for... Yeah, whatever. It's not right, but I don't know who.
Okay. Thank you so much for your participation. Well done for playing along at home. If you got it, excellent. If you haven't got it, I'm about to give it to you.
Is this not for par?
No, this is shot number five. This is for double. This is the worst you can get.
All right.
Are you panicking now?
You did a double fold.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Are you panicking now?
No, but yeah.
Okay.
No, but yeah.
Clue number five. Shot number five.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Winner of the 2023 and 2024 Players Championships and current at time of writing world number one. Today's golfer is Scottie Scheffler.
No, I'm not
doing
it.
Joking?
Yeah, I'm not gonna.
You were so confident.
I was, yeah. Yeah, I put Bryson DeChambeau.
We've already had him.
We've done him. We don't do the same person twice.
When did we have him?
We had him recently.
In round one. We had him in the first round. Yeah. Oh. We've also already had Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Annoying.
I put him down as my par putt and then crossed him out. I kind of thought he was slightly younger than that, but no, I got him as a bogey.
I'm just going to give you a little insight here. You gave me a little clue this morning. You gave me a clue. I'm going to tell you this now.
Excuse me?
You gave me a clue and I didn't get it because he screenshotted players in the thing because I said I've picked my players for next week's episode. And I put for the first one Gary Player. I was like, I'm going to fold and fold and fold. I'm ready to go.
You cheeky little.
But I tried to help you out a tiny little bit because I thought you were struggling. I wanted to even it out a little bit. How did you do?
I did not get it.
So you doubled?
I doubled, yeah.
Bogey.
Oh, okay.
A bogey should have got.
You scored.
Should have got a par. But.
It's infuriating because. Yeah, it was quite obvious. Yeah.
Okay, so let's go through the clues really quickly. That quote is from him walking with his wife Full Swing season one. He's talking about, he's like, I make my own cut. Like, what? Crazy. Shot number two, he actually plays pickleball when he's not playing golf. And one of the...
Yes, and he's quite good as well.
There we go. One of the things he said he would like to do after he quits golf is play pickleball, like semi-pro. So he invested in a team. The thing about the amateur status, what it did to me was I thought Scottie Scheffler was much older than that.
Mm. No, he's
very young. Scary young. And then the one major victory was just to throw you off who you already had because I assumed you would all have...
Who do you think I had?
I think you had Jordan Spieth.
No.
But you said someone who needs one more major.
Yeah. No, I had someone who had two majors.
Right, okay. Justin Thomas.
No.
Damn it. I did have
Justin Thomas down on one of them. But then I had him before the Texas one. And I know that he's an Alabama like guy through and through. Yeah. So I didn't why would he be with Tech anyway?
Okay. Tell us what's happening next week. Well done, everyone. Well done at home. Tell us what's happening next week.
I'll tell you when you tell us who won. Was that me?
Peter Finch won.
Thank you. What's the point situation? Don't shirk your responsibilities.
Sorry, yeah, you're right. I'm trying to wrap it up real quick. But let's go through us now. So let's add a point on for Peter Finch.
So I can't even cut it down. He's going to have fun with this one.
Currently, Pete and the Discord are tying on four wins
each.
One
day I'm going to hit the camera.
You need to hit the screen, yeah.
Go on, try it.
Oh, my
God. I had a whip on it.
God, that would have been good.
So currently the standings are Kieran with zero, even with a clue this week.
Gary Play.
Gary Play. I looked around, I was like...
That's rough.
And then when you said 2014, Davey, I was like, oh,
that don't work.
Zero for you. Jacob's on two with his spelling win last week.
I did guess it as well.
Yeah, Pete and the Discord are on 4 points each. God. So it's a tie at the top.
Respect.
That's done. Thank you, actually, Pete, because that's held off the Discord for... don't come back. But
after next week, which is the Masters special, because we don't have the guest player next week. I am going to just step on the Discord. Just going to stamp them.
You're going to stand on the desk. Neck.
The desk and the cord.
Yeah.
Throw it together.
Yeah.
So next week we have the Masters preview special. The official start of the golf season is upon us. So a big thank you to the guys once again, and a huge thank you to you for watching and for listening. Subscribe on the YouTube channel if you haven't already. Follow us on social media because we are there now as well.
We've got TikTok, we've got Instagram, we've got
everywhere. And become a follower of the podcast if you haven't already. Right, guys, enjoy the rest of your day. I need a wee. See you later.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.